It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Quentin, and for the first time in like 2 months.
2 months, yep.
My partner and co-host, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray, back in studio with us. Great to see you, dude.
It's good to be back. I mean, I've been run ragged.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been all over the Midwest, essentially. So we've talked about it every week. So I think folks know that you have been on the fishing show circuit, and we do this every year. You do this every year, and it's the first 2 months of the year. That's convention time. That's fishing.
Yes, fishing show time. Yep.
For you know all over the country and. You guys at Bluff City Outdoors travel to a whole bunch of shows all throughout the Midwest, and so you've been everywhere.
Started at Collinsville. That was the only one that was home. Yeah. And then we went to Lawrenceburg, Indiana, which is a suburb on the Indiana side of Cincinnati, and then Millersburg, Ohio, which is an hour and a half northeast of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And then Schaumburg.
Okay.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Then Marion, Illinois. That was the next one that was closest.
Right.
And then back to Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And then to the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Moline. Was it Bettendorf and Clinton?
Right.
Up there. And then we went to Louisville, Kentucky for the Catfish Crappie Conference.
Nice.
And then we ended up last weekend was in Cincinnati again. So that three trips basically three to Ohio.
So which one's the furthest out of
was that Millersburg?
Okay,
That was the Northeast Ohio Sportsman Show.
Gotcha.
Hunting show, it turned out. So
right,
yeah, but it was a long drive.
That was a new one for you, right?
Yeah, that one was a new one, and that was the one that was in the heart of the Amish country, which was
cool. Oh yeah,
which
was right. Cool. You called in that week. That's right. Yep. That's right. That one you said was more of a hunting show. Was that the one that was more of a hunting show?
Yeah, that
not
was
necessarily
more of
a
hunt,
fishing.
Yeah.
And then the one. Is so like the one in Collinsville that you guys do every year, and I've been at with you guys for the last couple of years, and Mike Marfell goes has been at that, and I think a lot of listeners are familiar with that one. It's not only is it huge, but it's everything pertaining to fishing, you know, whether of all different types of fishing, and then boats and obviously equipment and all of that stuff. But one of those you said was more specific about catfish and crappie. And
yeah, that, so that was the one in Louisville.
Yep. Gotcha.
It started off years ago as the Catfish Conference, and then it just built and built and built. And then 2 or 3 years ago, they decided they want to try to, you know, expand the draw, and they started including crappie.
Gotcha.
So
that's interesting to have it more refined, you know, like more specific.
Yes, yeah, it was a big deal when they were debating whether to just leave it as a catfish unique show. Because most of your fishing shows don't have a lot of catfish stuff.
Right.
That's the one kind of neglected species. And but they decided they wanted to broaden it, like I said. And I told them, I says, do crappie. I said, mm-hmm. Crappie, panfish, that's your next big market.
Because it's blowing up.
You know. And I told them, I says, there's a lot of bass fishing shows. I said, you don't need to pull it that in.
Right.
Just keep it catfish and crappie, and it should do well.
So, is that part of the – because here – you know, bass fishing across the country obviously has always been the big, you know, that's the headliner, Bassmasters. You know, when you think of, you know, Saturday morning turning on the TV and watching, you know, Bill Dance or somebody fishing, that's bass fishing. But here, because we have the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, we have the perfect setup for it. Catfishing is a big part of our fishing communities. So is that why that show in Kentucky is like, is that area particularly geared towards catfishing and
it's
crappie?
It's really not. It's just, it was kind of a weird how it got started. I mean, like 5 or 6 years ago, it was a guy giving seminars at an open house at a boat dealer. There in Louisville, I think it was in Louisville.
And just grew.
And then it just grew. And then so the next year they invited a couple more vendors. And I can remember the first year that Jerry from a Tanglerwoods Catfish was telling me he went down there. He got it because it was, you know, at the time real cheap to do. Mm-hmm. So he goes, well, I'll go down there. And he took like 40 rods and it opened at like 10 o'clock. And he said by 10:20, he was out of rods. It's just the people were showing up.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
He saw that there was a niche and he grew it. And now, you know, there's probably 100, 125 vendors down there, you know, and it's a busy show.
Yeah.
It's a 2-day event. And,
that's cool.
You know, if you like catfishing, there's everything catfish there, but they said now they got the crappie stuff going in there too. So
was there any, big takeaway, like consistency throughout all the shows, whether it be, you know, like maybe like the growth in some of the areas like catfishing or crappie or a piece of equipment or gear or something like that, you know, like was there any like new fad or consistent sort of big thing that was throughout all the shows?
I don't know if it's new fad. It just, what's interesting is you see the, like in crappie fishing, the southern shows in the south, they use a lot of long rods. And like when we were up at, you know, Cincinnati and Columbus, and they're looking at those 15-foot rods and going, what the heck is that? You know, so there's definitely a geographic line somewhere in there where technique is totally different.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I asked that is because we had a couple of really good conversations with Mike Marfell over the last couple of weeks while you were out. And last week when he had just gotten done with a tournament down at Table Rock, and he came in that week and he was on the week before, and we were talking about, hey, we're going to, you know, he's going to tournaments this weekend and we'll talk to you next week to see how you did. So he knew that was going to be the conversation. He came in here, he was laughing. He came in here and he was like, kind of like shoulders slumped, like, I know we got to talk about this, but I'm not looking forward to it. And he said, and the first words out of his mouth were, I've got to invest in the forward sonar. I've finally made the realization that if I'm going to continue to compete, I've got to do this because it's become such a big part of, especially the major tournaments. It's become so prevalent that, you know, it's almost necessary.
Yeah, you almost got to have it if you want to compete.
Yeah.
At those levels, and they're seeing that in the crappie world too. Mm. It's just the ones who are really, and they have a tendency to be younger guys because they're just more, you know, in tune to gadgets, been, you know, coming up with them their whole life. And the ones that really get it where it clicks, they're like machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can go catch fish anywhere.
Yeah. So did you hear any of that conversation about how much that electronic stuff is?
Oh yeah, that was always influence. A big talk. Like our one pro staffer, Shiloh Schoppel, he lives down in Alabama now. He's that way on his crop. He says I'm going in these tournaments, I want to catch 7 fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the limit. That's all I want to catch, and I'm going to go find those 7 fish.
Yeah,
and that's doesn't what waste Mike was, his waste time on fish that aren't going to be in that top 7.
Yeah, that's what Mike was saying last week. He was talking about how like the guys in the tournament they're targeting a fish.
Yes,
like a specific fish that they see. They don't see the clump of fish or a good spot like we're used to. Like, oh, here's a good spot. There's a bunch of fish down here. No, I'm going for that fish.
Yep.
And it's so the technology is so precise that you literally can target that one fish.
Yes,
because you're throwing at a precise point instead of just an area, which is I've never seen that in person. I've never seen how that works in person. So it's still just like I got to see it to understand how it can be so precise, because it's just crazy to me that it is.
Yes, because on focused. Those graphs, and that's what a couple of guys explained it to me. We were watching my buddy Jason that was helping me all the time. He was explaining that we were watching some YouTube channel, and you know, the Airbnb one night. And then he's going, he says, so he said the one plot is your distance. Mm-hmm. And the other one is your depth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you can bind those two and you can get to where you can cast it into that range, he said, you'll see the bait.
That's what Mike was saying. Yeah. He's like, you can watch the jig drop down. You can watch the lure.
And see if it's on the fish.
That's wild.
It is. And you see the fish, they'll come up. And we were watching a crappie one. But you see the fish, they're just coming up and hitting it, you know.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, it's right in front of them. It's right above them. It's, you know, coming down. It's 2 foot above them. It's 18 inches above them. Oh, there he is hitting it when it's a foot above them.
Q, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Right?
It is insane.
Like, that is just not, like, that's just, somebody who's just a recreational fisherman or somebody who's just, you know, done it, you know, here and there, like, to know that it's come that far is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing for avid fishermen. So, yeah, but that was definitely Mike's big takeaway was that if, you know, like, if I'm going to continue to compete at, you know, at a high level, I've got to get this. He said, like, for him, like, he said, at the Lake of the Ozarks, which I know like the back of my hand, I could compete without it. But if I'm going to go to around, you know, if I'm going to travel and I'm going to go to different, you know, lakes and different areas to to fish in a tournament, I've got to have
it. Yeah. So there's a lot of arguments in this space. And I feel like, what if it's making the sport too easy? Are you taking away?
That's a big argument in the industry. Anytime there's a new thing that takes over, that gives you a big advantage.
This one kind of crosses the line. It really changes it because you could have somebody who's just great with electronics and a novice fisherman and do well.
Yeah.
I believe you could.
You don't have to have all the skills.
You don't have to learn the water.
Right.
And that's
you just
that's
learn
being
the,
proven.
You just learn the computer.
They're figuring it out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure this is going to be a big conversation in the coming years. In fact, our guest today is Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, and we're going to talk to him in just a minute. I'd love to get his thoughts on this issue and more. We'll also got some other things to talk about as we go through the show today. We'll talk about this later, but mark your calendars for the big spring sale out at Bluff City Outdoors. Is happening at the end of the month, the 28th through the 31st of March, one of the biggest sales that you can take advantage of every year at Bluff City. So mark your calendars. We'll talk about that in a little bit, and we will talk to Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, joins us next on the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. Now that stop will make you a believer.
This ain't no lie. Saved on my birthday.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. My partner, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, back in a studio after his two-month hiatus traveling around the country doing the fishing show convention. Producer Quentin in studio as well. And joining us on the line now, back on the show with us, is Gabe Montgomery, one of the regular contributors to our fishing report. And, of course, the 10 Horse Monty himself from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Gabe, thanks for your time this afternoon. How's it going, buddy?
It is going good. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it. I am taking my daughters to work in a little bit of rain, so that's kind of what the plan is right now.
I understand. If you got to take care of something, you just let us know and do what you got to do there.
I'm good, man. I'm glad you called.
Wanted to ask you first about you know we talk about you and your YouTube channel a lot, and Mike Marfell obviously is a regular on the show as well, and you guys have a relationship working together on various things, and I think you were also in the tournament at Table Rock a couple weeks ago. Is that you fished in that tournament too, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. Sure did.
So Mark and I were just catching up about a couple things, and we were talking about how after that tournament, when Mike was in here, recapping that, and when we started the show that day, and I asked him about that tournament, he was kind of disappointed with the way he with his placement, And he said that I said, what's your biggest takeaway? And he said, that I finally made the realization that if I want to compete in these tournaments, I've got to get the forward facing sonar, the new technology. He's like, it's just getting to the point now that you almost have to have it if you want to compete. Do you agree with that statement? And, if so, is that a good or a bad or just, indifferent? It just is what it is thing for the fishing industry in general.
No, I agree with that 100%. I have it on my John boat. I mainly fish out of a John boat. And I would say 90% of the people that fish in these higher end tournaments have forward facing on our technology, and it's vital because it just cuts down the learning process. It cuts down your pre-fishing time. We recently fished an Anglers in Action on the Lake of the Ozarks, and we kept trying to run this pattern, and we could not connect with the fish. We were throwing the right thing because I have several friends that caught them really good on that bait, but we could not see. You don't get interaction with the fish. You're not visually seeing the interaction with the fish. So there could be fish coming up to your bait and turning away right at the last second, and you will never know that because you're not able to see them. Well, if you're looking at them with forward facing sonar, you can make adjustments. Mm-hmm. Am I reeling it too fast? Am I reeling it too slow? Is it too high in the water column? Do I need to change the color of my bait? Do I need to change the cadence? And until you start getting some bites, you don't get that feedback. And if the bite is pretty tough, you may never get the feedback that you'll get by actually using that forward-facing sonar to see the fish. And it lets you, when you pull into an area, you can put the trolling motor down and look around. And you can tell, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on here. There's bait, there's fish, there's a lot of life in this area. This is a good place to kind of spend some time. It just eliminates a lot of water, and it cuts down the learning curve. So, yeah, I'm 100% behind it. I think it's a great learning tool. And if you're going to compete, you really need to consider having it on your boat.
So Mark just brought this up, and it if I do have a concern, it's that we've had this argument before. Every time there's a new – I mean, like the Alabama rig, when that became popular, it was like, oh, that should be banned. That gives you too much of advantage. It happened with electronics, when every time electronics have been, evolved over the last few years. But for whatever reason, this one feels like a step even further than what we've seen in the past, and almost like, and we were just talking about this and want to see if you agree with this, that you almost don't need to have all the fishing knowledge anymore, which to me is part of it. Like, you don't need to be so worried about, the water temperature and the time of day and all the knowledge, that people gather over the years of spending time out on the water, that if you can just master this computer system, essentially, you can go out there and be a great fisherman, where before it took, years of experience and things like that. Am I overblowing it? Is that not, do you still need all of those other tools just as much as you used to? And this is just another, another tool in the toolbox, or is this one an even bigger sort of influence than some of the things we've seen in the past?
No, there's definitely some truth to what you guys are talking about. It can take a new angler and make them a better angler right off the bat. There's definitely a learning curve. You have to put in the time to learn what you're looking at, and then there's being able to cast to the fish that you're seeing. But it's not just fish that you're seeing suspended. It also adds value with finding brush piles, looking at brush piles, dropping your bait in a brush pile, seeing how the fish react. It is a very polarizing topic. It's amazing that this thing that we enjoy called fishing
right.
has gotten polarized. There's enough of that crap out there. It's a shame that it's gotten to the way it is. But it is what it is. There's definitely live scope haters, and there's people that are pro live scope. I understand both sides of it. I'm pro live scope because it cuts down the learning curve. So I basically, I'm backing up your point to some sense.
Yeah, that also brings more people in. That also does bring more people into the industry, or, you know, into the sport too, and that's a good thing. You know, like if you can cut down the learning curve a little bit and make people feel like they compete, they can compete. You know, without having to put in 10 years of experience before, you know, did they get to that point? So I can definitely see both sides too. But I hope that there's always, you know, there's always something to be said for that, you know, that feel.
Well, any new technology that comes out, regardless of it's got to do with fishing or what it is, for the most part, it's going to change stuff. You know, changes stuff. A lot of the people that are complaining about this new technology are people that have been doing it a certain way for so long. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that too. I'm set in my ways. I've been fishing for a long time. I have a certain way I attack things. Well, there's a lot of the professionals that are getting their butts kicked by these young guys that have learned this board fishing sonar. But here's the deal: you have to be within 100 feet of a fish to see the fish. So you still have to know where fish are at. You can't just put it down anywhere and expect to find fish. So these guys that are winning a lot of these tournaments now, Drew Gill, Trey McKinney, Patrick Walters, these guys can catch them with or without forward facing sonar. It makes a really great angler even better, because let's face it, everybody that fishes the Bassmaster Elites or the Major League Fishing, BPT, the Open, Toyota Series, they all have this technology, and they're still certain people that win. Just because you have that technology does not mean that you're going to win the tournament. But you still have to know seasonal patterns. You have to know how to locate the fish. You have to know what you're looking at. You have to know how to make adjustments with your bait presentations. And this is all stuff that happens from spending thousands and thousands of hours behind your bait and sonar.
Right. Mark, was this one of the biggest conversations that you heard at the conventions and the shows over, and probably also just at the shop?
It comes up. And there's another concern, too, and it's because it can impact the tournaments, is the non-tournament fishermen that are going to start using that technology to start taking more bigger fish out of bodies of water for eating.
And,
Gabe, is there much discussion about that? Because I could definitely see it in the crappie world. You know, they're so good to eat. You know,
you can, like we talked about in the last time. Like Mike told us a couple weeks ago, like you can target literally a specific fish.
Yep.
So if you see the big one, you can literally target that one specific fish. If you're not tournament fishing,
that big one gets caught, I mean, he's gone from the body of water.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So
I think in crappie fishing, it can definitely be an issue for the reasons you're saying. There's people that are just specifically targeting. You know, say there's a 15 fish krill limit, they're going to target the biggest 15 fish that they can find, and that over time can really have a great impact, a negative impact on a fishery. As far as bass fishing, we practice catch and release most of the time, so I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal in bass fishing. It has made the fish more educated. There's no doubt about it. They've in the past, say pre-forward facing sonar 5 years ago, they've been able to get off the bank in the wintertime and suspend and not be messed with. They literally have a sanctuary out there. They had a sanctuary out there for 3 or 4 months. Well, now there's people out there messing with them all year long. So when they get shallow, which is what we all look forward to, when those fish pull up and get shallow and get easy to catch, those fish have been picked on for the last several months. So they're a little more educated. I'm seeing that around here in some of our smaller lakes. They are definitely becoming more conditioned because of the pressure that's happening all winter long. So that's something that we're having to contend with. It's just there's not as many dumb fish out there. They're just getting smarter and smarter every year.
So
and I like dumb fish.
Me too.
Are you starting to see any in the bass where they're getting hit with the sonar and they sense it?
Yeah, you can only keep it on for a couple of seconds.
Where they take off.
Yeah,
because they felt it. I know the catfishing guys are running into that. They hit them with it. If they don't, if they don't turn it off, they're gone.
Yeah.
If they try,
that's an interesting question. So that's come up a lot of times on our Tuesday night live streams. I've asked that question quite often to some of the pros that are on there, and the general consensus is no, The actual pinging of the transducer is not what's affecting them. It's the boat, the presence of the boat. They are getting so much pressure overhead so often that they're very sensitive to the boat. So normally that normal cast is like 60 foot away from the boat. That's close enough for fish to feel the presence of the boat. So several of the people we've talked to, they preach being super, super stealthy, lining up with the fish based on the wind. You don't want your boat to be slapping, making noise. I have an aluminum boat. It's super loud, you know. So if I got any kind of wind, it's definitely slapping. Those fish know you're around. They're not watching TV at night. They're not distracted with their cell phones and all this stuff. They live in that little environment. Right. You're coming into their world, so they know you're around. I think that's one advantage that a kayak angler has.
Yeah.
You know, they're super stealthy and stuff. But, yeah, the general consensus with the pros that I've talked to is it's not the actual pinging or the beam of the forward facing sonar transducer. It's the boat, the presence of the boat.
That's really interesting, because that means that the catfish have a they have a built-in radar that the bass fish don't.
They're a sensor, basically. Yeah, they pick everything
that's
up.
That's super.
And I think that might be a species difference there.
Yeah. Talking to Gabe Montgomery, aka Ten Horse Monty, Ten Horse Monty YouTube channel. We're almost out of time, Gabe, and we're gonna get back into the full blown. Now that it's March, we're gonna get back into the full blown weekly fishing report here soon on the show. But for people that might be going out this weekend or sometime really soon, the Cliff Notes version of what to look for. What are a couple things that people can do this time of year to give them the best chance at having a successful fishing trip?
Well, it's getting ready to get really good. I was out today for a few hours this morning. Water temps here. I fished in Southern Illinois today, and the water temps were like 54 to 56. And the weather looks pretty good. We got a little cold front coming, but I think the water is going to stay in that mid-50s for a while. And we're coming up in the middle of March soon. That's when fish are going to start pulling up on the bank. So you can probably put a bladed jig, maybe a spinner bait, if you're a person that likes to drag something, your favorite soft plastic creature bait, Texas rigged, and a jig. Just cover a little water, and you're going to be able to get bites here really soon. Right now, you know, it's still a transition going on right now. There's still some fish out deep, but they're working their way up shallow. So, you know, every week is going to get better until, you know, April's when it's going to be full-blown spawn. So we're right there. It's a good time to start getting out there and playing around with your favorite bait. You should be able to catch some fish.
Yeah, and as we tell people all the time, some of the best content, I don't even know that there is a better YouTube channel for fishing content than the Ten Horse Monty channel, so make sure you're subscribed to Gabe and his channel there, Ten Horse Monty, on YouTube. Combine that with the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast, and you got all the information you need to have the best chances out there and get some of the best fishing discussions happening. So, Gabe, really appreciate your time as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, Gabe.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Yeah. You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, great stuff. And seriously, you can get the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast on just about every podcast platform there is, and make sure you're subscribed to the Ten Horse Monty YouTube channel as well. All right, we'll be back with more next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. Nobody ever had to worry about me.
Honestly, baby, I'm better off fishing. Hey!
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Have you ever heard this song?
No.
I hadn't either. So, hold on. I want to hear that.
Are you in here?
Yeah, I want to hear the part. Hold on right here.
I'd rather be out in the middle of a big lake, sipping on six on a flip on a
crank. Yeah, listen.
Catfish all day, far away from the missing and the bitching. Honestly, baby, I'm better off fishing.
So, a couple weeks ago, while you were gone, not sleeping one night like I do every night, and I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna just start looking and see if we can add some songs to the to our bumper music list for Bluff City Outdoors. So I'm like just like on the internet, literally just searching fishing songs, right? And that one came up. It's got a, it had a lot of. It was like a. It's a well produced video. Like yes, it's yes. got some. He's must be on a label, on a record label, and it had a, you know, hundreds of thousands of views. And there was a couple of songs like that I came across, and that's one of them that I really liked. But I was like, I've never heard of this guy, and I've never heard this song, but I like it.
That's a pretty nice intro.
Right? It works. It fits. It fits perfectly.
That's right.
Listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Producer Quentin here in studio with me. I'm Tony Colombo and my partner Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. So now that the fishing show season is over and you're back here home every weekend, the next big thing is the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors.
Yep.
And, it's at the 28th through the 31st of this month of March at Bluff City Outdoors. And we've talked about this in years past when this sale comes up. It's not like you guys do a sale every month and lower, you know, like some gimmick and lower the prices. Yeah. But this is a once-a-year spring sale that is legit.
Typically, this is where we put on the fishing side. It's our best deals of the year.
Yeah.
You know, we like to always offer our best deals to our customers.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is.
And this is what
we're doing. This is a special. This is like the Black Friday event at Bluff City.
Yeah. Because pretty much the majority of the shop is on sale as far as fishing.
Yeah.
You know, and I never put traps on sale because I just no reason to. But, so most of the fishing stuff's going to be on sale.
Yeah. And it's the perfect time. Because we're just getting, like, as Gabe just said, in that last segment, we're talking to Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, and he was kind of giving us his abbreviated fishing report for this week, and he said it, and Mike Marfell said it last week and has been saying it for the last couple of weeks, that we're right on the cusp of an explosion.
Yeah, it's going to get real, real good. I mean, this past weekend, Alex Nagy had his Twisted Cats tournament over there in Alton. Mm-hmm. 84 boats.
Wow.
You know, I thought that's a good omen for the Alton Catfish Classic. But that they had a 100-pounder get caught, 102-pounder, and I think winning total was around 120.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's
– nice.
You know, it's a little – maybe a little early, I think, at the end of March.
Right.
We got a twist on Chasing Cats Outdoors tournament that we're part of now. It's going to be going on that same weekend as the sale. So we'll actually have the weigh-in there at the shop that Saturday afternoon. Nice. And I think we ought to see 150 pounds come in on that.
Ooh, let's go. Yeah, so it's that perfect time of year. We're right around – I mean, we are, you know, right around the corner from it being full-blown fishing season. And if you have some holes in the tackle box or, you know, you just got to get yourself a little more prepared, take advantage of the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors, the 28th through the 31st of March. Of course, Bluff City is there in Alton, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's on Broadway in Alton, open every day. You can get all your fishing gear, but you can also shoot every day in the archery range and take advantage of the Techno Hunt system and trapping equipment. And
yeah, still got beaver trapping through the end of the month.
Yeah, all at Bluff City Outdoors there in Alton. Make sure you're checking it out. We also mentioned our podcast. I want to remind folks that we put the show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every week. And so you can subscribe to our podcast on whatever your favorite podcast platform is, and that way you never have to miss anything that happens here on the show. All right. Let's do this, Q. So we've been talking about a lot over the last several years. We were talking about earlier in this show how every year the fishing industry in recent years, especially since about COVID, seems to be growing yep. in general, and then growing in certain areas like with catfishing and crappie fishing and all of that. So people in the outdoor community feels like there's some momentum, wind at our back. But ESPN just put out a list of the top 60 sports, like,
top
period?
60 sports, period.
Just top 60 sports.
Well, top 60 sports ranked by most difficult.
Oh, by most difficult. Yes. Oh, that throws in a little
a
wrench into things. Okay.
Yeah, so there's 10
categories.
Categories that they're ranking off of. And
gotcha.
They had 8 panelists.
Like 10 stipulate 10 exactly. like level like
So yeah, just real quick, it. Endurance, strength, power, speed, agility, flexibility, nerve, which in turn the ability to overcome fear.
Okay.
So your divers,
right?
Your sure. jumpers, durability, hand-eye coordination, and analytic aptitude.
Okay.
All right. So
you don't need a lot of flexibility to be a fisherman.
I can't wait.
We're scoring low on that.
I can't wait to see where alligator wrestling ended up on this list.
So I will start off with.
So any of the outdoor, any of the outdoor sports.
Hunting, I say there's fishing, four. There's four.
Okay.
Fishing, shooting.
Okay. Yeah.
Archery.
Yeah.
And kayaking or canoe.
Yeah. Okay.
So those were the four that I found that's considered outdoors. I mean, there's more surfing, but it doesn't apply to us in this area. So
that's a good point.
So. I'll say this for fishing, you know, be proud that fishing made the list.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. But fishing came in 60.
Oh, boy. That doesn't.
It came in at
60. It's wrong, but it doesn't surprise me.
Now it's all debatable. Now, their highest difficulty of category that was rated.
Yeah. Hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. No.
No.
I was looking at a different one, analytical aptitude.
Okay.
So, you know, the ability to evaluate and react appropriately to strategic situations.
Yeah.
You know, as you guys were just speaking.
What was like 58 and 59?
Oh, wow. 58, shooting.
Oh, geez. See, I disagree with that, too. What was 59?
Billiards.
Okay.
That's my sport. I love
I like billiards.
Yeah. Do you think billiards belongs that low?
I do.
Yeah.
You don't need endurance, strength, power. Speed,
yeah.
Agility, flexibility,
right.
Nerve. You don't need any of that. You need hand-eye coordination. You need analytic aptitude.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah. The reason I think fishing finishes so low is because I still think that there's very much a opinion by people that are unfamiliar that it's all luck. I hear that all the time. Yes, I hear that all the time, that it's, you know, it's just all luck. Jeff Allen and I have an ongoing argument going for years because Jeff loves to play golf. And he's always like, I know that if I go out and to golf and if I play well, I'm going to have a successful day of golfing. If you go out, it doesn't matter if you play well, it's up to the fish and your luck if you're going to have a successful day. And like he believes that. And I know that there are a lot of people that do. But anyone that knows, I tell the story all the time about a time that I was out boating with some friends. And we were just going out for a boat ride. We weren't supposed to fish, but there was fishing poles on the boat. And somebody said, oh, let's fish for a minute. And they tried to fish. They didn't catch anything. And I started fishing. And I'm just one after another. And they're like, come on, give me a break. Where were you fishing? Right here. Blah, blah, blah. Give me that. Cast, nothing. You know, they get it back to me, catch a fish. And then until it clicked in their mind, like, there is more to this. And I'm nobody. Like, my skill level compared to, like, a Gabe Montgomery or Mike Marfell is nothing, and I was able to do that. But I think that a lot of people think it's all luck. Yep. And I think that's why.
If you don't have the electronics, you know, you kind of got to know where those fish are going to be and what depth they're going to be at and – you know,
yes. Yeah. There's a lot more skill. I mean, the cat, just the aiming of the cast in general, you know,
yeah, that's what I think. Cause that's, I mean, that's kind of like a golf swing.
Yeah.
You know, right. It really is.
It's so true.
So that's another thing. Okay. Golf is 51. Now, if this list was about learning curve, learning the sport, I'm sure it'd be completely flipped.
Right.
Right. Golf one, fishing would be up there as well, but based on the criteria there.
Right.
So,
where did the other two? What were the other?
Archery and kayaking.
Okay.
You guys think? Where do you guys think archery falls in the range of?
Well, archery and shooting are about the same, so I would imagine that it finished around where shooting.
Yeah, I'm going to say they put kayaking ahead of archery.
Yeah, so that would make kayaking the highest one. Yeah,
it is. Archery 55, canoe kayaking 49.
All right.
So yeah, and then for you, Tony.
Yeah.
Just for your personal one, where do you think gymnastics is at?
It should be. It should be number one, baby.
Number one.
That's number what
eight.
I said.
Number eight. Boxing is number one.
Boxing.
I could see that.
Yeah. Well, boxing for nerve.
I still don't think, though, that boxing is any more tougher than wrestling alligators.
I agree.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know why that didn't make the list. What were the top? What were the top?
Alligator
five?
Wrestling. Nobody makes it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. That's true. It's a very limited.
The alligator usually wins.
Yeah. What were the top five?
So top five: boxing, ice hockey, football, American football.
Yeah.
Basketball and then wrestling.
I am surprised, pleasantly surprised. Hockey should be way up there because not only do you have to have all the physical gifts of, you know, a football player or a soccer player and all of that, but you're doing it on ice.
And you need the mental, the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, you gotta you're doing it on a thin blade on ice.
There was a Mario Lemieux, who I thought was probably the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yeah,
if he would have stayed healthy, he would have been.
Yes. Yeah.
But, I mean, there was one, and this occurred over at St. Louis, and they showed it on the replay. I mean, the puck hits him, like, at his waist, and he pops it, hits it about three times in the air with his stick, gets it down, score.
Yep.
And you're going, holy crap, you know.
And the whole time he's balanced on an eighth of an inch and it's just metal blade on the ice. Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, that was awesome. I mean, that's just incredible skill.
Yeah, I played hockey growing up, and it's kind of like fishing. It doesn't usually get its due, but it did in that list. That's good to see. All right, that's going to about wrap it up. I do want to remind folks that, you know, not only is it about to be a great time to be fishing, it's also a great time to be out there barbecuing. Make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you next time you're grilling. You can pick up Rockwood Charcoal at over 100 area locations. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. And again, mark your calendars for the Bluff City Outdoors Spring Sale. It is March 28th through the 31st at Bluff City in Alton, Illinois. I know that I'm going to take advantage of it. I went out last year and did, and I'm going to do it again because Perfect time of the year.
A lot of stuff. I mean, we got a lot of new product that's coming in this spring. Yeah. I mean, we're unloading the show fixtures now.
Nice.
And so there's some really good, cool looking new hard baits. So there's a lot of new stuff. So
we went down to the Lake of the Ozarks last weekend, and me and the kids went down to fish off the dock for a little bit, and I definitely noticed that there's some holes in the tackle box from lures or, you know, like things that I lost last year or used. And so I've got some holes to fill, and the spring sale is definitely the time to do that.
Hey, did trapping make that list?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. So if you're trapping coyotes,
we should make our own list.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yes.
So if that's a good point. You're trapping coyotes.
I mean, it's tough work, but you got to make that coyote's nerve. Got the whole world to put his foot down, and you got to get him to step on a 2-inch.
That's
spot.
Right. Oh, wow. That's right. You that's know, aptitude.
And
nerve.
Nerve.
Also out there.
So then, just real quick.
Sure.
How would you trap a coyote? Like, how carefully would you lure it in?
So it's two inches. So you look at the geography there.
We're
doing
this.
You figure out where they're gonna travel. Which you know, once you get the hang of it, they travel fence lines and wood lines and stuff. But they like to stay out a little bit. Mm. Typically, you're gonna dig a hole. Put some backing up there so they make them come in from the side you want them to come in. The trap's going to be buried in the ground, camouflaged in, out, I don't know, 8 to 10 inches, usually offset a little bit, always offset to the right. And you have to get that pan on that trap's literally a couple inches, and you have to get him to step on that. So it's very tough.
I think I know one of the show segments next week. We've got to get into this a little bit deeper because this is really cool. And you want to talk about a lost art, and you want to talk about the Bluff City Outdoors, one of the few places that you could, maybe the only place that you could still get that equipment.
And talk to somebody who's actually done it.
For sure. So, again, mark your calendars. Bluff City Outdoor Spring Sale is later this month, March the 28th through the 31st. And we'll be back here with you next week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast in the meantime. And for producer Quentin and my partner Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
From the missing and the bitching. Honestly, baby, I'm better off fishing.